Welcome back to Ryer on YouTube, where it is once again time for Second Helping, this time on a Thursday, September the 12th, 2024. Travis Ryer, alongside my great friend and co-host Brent Beard, longtime college football analyst, right there for First Coast News down in Jacksonville, Florida. Brent, of course, also a voter in the race for the most prestigious individual honor in college athletics, the Heisman Trophy. And Brent is the only talent that I work with that has his own production assistant, and his production assistant, as is typically the case, Chino making early appearance here on Second Helping. Chino, what's going on?
He loves podcasts, and when he hears when he hears your voice, he jumps up here and wants to. Trev, I think sometimes he thinks he's a star, okay?
Well, my voice has been described as a dog whistle, so maybe it works kind of in reverse for our good pal Chino there. But, Brent, no shortage of action to preview as we get folks ready for another big weekend of Southeastern Conference action. And what we're going to do is we're going to move through these games, give you some thoughts, and really just keep it moving here on Second Helping. And, by the way, if you haven't subscribed to the channel here, we would certainly appreciate it if you'd go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell as well. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops here on the channel. And also a thumbs up would help us out a good bit as well. So without further ado, Brent, let's go to Madison, Wisconsin, where the fourth-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide will take to the road for the first time under head coach Kalen DeBoer. The Badgers at Camp Randall await in an early kickoff. Alabama, a 16-point favorite. That number's actually gone up over the days and weeks. And give us an initial thought. Give us a big thing for you where this matchup is concerned.
Yeah, my big thing here, and a lot of fans may not be ready and have considered this, but Wisconsin's quarterback is familiar. Not so much because they played Alabama, because we've heard a lot about him. Tyler Van Dyke, who used to be at Miami, and a lot of folks will remember Tyler Van Dyke was also benched during the Middle Tennessee game in a game that the Canes lost. So I think my big thing, Trav, is going to be is how will Van Dyke react to the Alabama defense, which frankly has been – stout so far and played very well. Wisconsin is struggling. They are 2-0 after wins over Western Michigan and South Dakota. I like Luke Fickley. He's a good coach. Their offensive line is probably their strength. But I think how Van Dyke, if you look at his numbers at the end of the game, and this is no secret, but I think it will tell us a lot, Trav, about winners and losers and how this game came out.
My one big thing for this game, Brent, is that Alabama comes in through two games with six plays already of 40 yards or more on offense. When I look at Wisconsin through two games against Western Michigan and South Dakota, just one play of 40 yards or more. So obviously Wisconsin does not want to get into a track meet.
Right.
Can Wisconsin get enough out of that run game to help limit possessions for Alabama and get this thing into the fourth quarter? Something South Florida, along with finishing plus three in turnover margin, like South Florida did last week. The Bulls were able to do that a week ago in Tuscaloosa. Can Wisconsin follow a similar recipe, a similar formula? Now, when I think about this Wisconsin run game this year, Braylon Allen from the last 3 years, he was a 3,500-yard back over those seasons. Sort of a committee approach so far for Wisconsin, so not exactly sure what the Badgers have in the backfield. And when I look at that Wisconsin defense, it gave up 120 rushing yards or more in games against Western Michigan and South Dakota. So that could be a problem for the Badgers when considering – its prospects against not only Jam Miller and Justice Haynes, but some wild card runners for Alabama, like Jalen Milrow, like Kendrick Law, those type of X-factor players in the run game. Now, the Alabama offense, Brent, expected perhaps to get Caden Proctor back at left tackle after that performance up front against South Florida last week. I'd say that's a pretty intriguing possibility, but yeah, your point about Tyler Van Dyke is a good one. I think it's similar to what was the case with Byron Brown for South Florida last week. Get Tyler Van Dyke north of 30 pass attempts. Mm-hmm. That probably means you're doing what you need to do against that Wisconsin run game and putting Van Dyke in the situation of having to extend possessions on maybe third and long.
Yeah, absolutely. And frankly, the Alabama defense has probably been better than expected. The defensive line, those linebackers and safeties played well. The corners are, I think, learning, to your point, stability on that offensive line for Alabama is going to be huge, frankly, and where that's going, where that's going to be. Proctor, also going to be interesting to see about Elijah Pritchard. He was able to come in, make a big difference in that game. So, but, you know, these, and again, we know he's retired, but these were the games, in a lot of ways, Trav, that early season games on the road, good opponent, that Nick Saban basically made his, reputation from, certainly as an Alabama football coach.
Yeah, Alabama just didn't lose games in September under Nick Saban. Now, this is a little bit different. A lot of those were neutral site type of matchups. You're taking it truly on the road in the Big Ten, something we just have not seen much of at all from Alabama in the modern era of college football. Tex Tider chiming in here in the show comments. You can do the same. We'd love to hear from you. Tex Tider says he's hoping for zero turnovers for Bama this week so that we can truly judge the offense, get OL back to top five, and run the damn ball first, then gash. Yeah, I could see that being a part of the things, Tex. And again, though, explosive plays. I think Alabama, in terms of production in that area, far more capable of it than are the Wisconsin Badgers. Let's go to Columbia, South Carolina, Brent. College game day in COLA this week. LSU, a 7-point road favorite. That's one of the themes this week in the league, too. Lot of big road favorites, and not just by a few. I mean, we're going to see it with Georgia coming up with that trip to Kentucky when we get into that in a little bit, but one of those early season gateway games, I've always referred to them as, in the Southeastern Conference, especially when we had divisions, because traditionally it would be East division teams like Tennessee and Florida playing at this point, maybe Arkansas, Alabama on the other side. But this one is LSU at South Carolina. South Carolina in the unimaginable position of being 2-0. I didn't really have that going into Kentucky last week, but here the Gamecocks are. And for me, Brent, the surprise, especially with LSU, involves the run game on offense.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With that offensive line and understanding John Emery's down with the knee injury, still expected LSU through two games to have one rushing touchdown by now.
Really?
LSU's the only team in the Southeastern Conference that doesn't have a rushing touchdown through two games.
Boy, that's very – very un-LSU-like. My big thing in this game, Trav, is going to be the matchup between Dylan Stewart and Kyle Kennard on that South Carolina side of the ball. Stewart has been a star as a freshman going against Will Campbell and Emory Jones on that LSU offensive line. That's going to be very interesting. South Carolina really struggling to throw the ball with the Norris Sellers. He is a pretty good quarterback who can run. Also, I think in this game, LSU's got seven straight wins over South Carolina. And to your point a minute ago, Carolina trying to go 3-0 for the first time since 2012.
Wow.
When they won their first six, finished 11-2, and ranked eight. Look, I'm with you. Even with the loss of defensive tackle Jacoby and Guillory, their defensive tackle, this LSU roster is still the better roster between the two. Garrett Nussmeier, I think, has done a pretty good job so far. Congrats to South Carolina for getting game day there and with the chance to go 3-0. But Trev, I just cannot imagine as talented as this LSU football team is of losing this game and having two losses early in the month of September.
Get mighty loud in Red Stick if you drop this one. Though. I like your point about Kyle Kennard and Dylan Stewart, the two edges for South Carolina. Kennard coming in as a Georgia Tech transfer. Stewart, the freshman, have been revelations for this South Carolina defense. Mm-hmm. Six sacks between the two through two games. And you think about LSU and you think about those two offensive tackles, the potential to neutralize those guys seems pretty real. And as you said, if it comes down to quarterbacks, it's hard for me to go against Garrett Nussmeier, even on the road in comparison to Lenora Sellers for South Carolina. Let's talk early football again on Saturday. Boston College, a top 25 matchup between BC and Mizzou, just like we had it, you know, back in the preseason. We knew this would be a top 25 matchup, even with Boston College's 2-0 record most recently, a hammering of Duquesne on that ledger after knocking off Florida State in the season opener. BC and Bill O'Brien still a 16.5 point dog going to Como this weekend, Brent. And suddenly a measuring stick game for a Missouri team that we didn't really expect to be challenged until maybe October the 5th when Mizzou goes to College Station. Now you look at the schedule for Mizzou. You got BC this week and our guy, Diego Pavia, next week. And I think quarterbacks in this game are a big storyline because of Thomas Castellanos for BC, who's been really, really good, and also Brady Cook. And I also think both the lines of scrimmage for these teams. This has a chance to be, if you like physical football, line of scrimmage football, this has a chance to be that game for you on Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Missouri has yet to allow a point. Now, again, it was Murray State and Buffalo, but still, with Blake Baker going to LSU, that Missouri defense has – certainly hung in there. Trev, my big thing for this game is how healthy is Luther Burden. Now, he left the game last week, played well early, but he had an illness, and we don't know what that was. But in his absence, the guy who kind of compensated and stepped up was Theo Weiss, 10 catches for 105 yards. He is coming on. Man alive, Trav, think about this. As good as Burden is, you get Weiss and maybe even another couple of guys. How good could this Missouri receiving corps be by the end of the year?
Yeah, I think the prognosis was pretty favorable for Burden this week. It sounded like a couple days ago from Eli Drinkwitz. Theo Weiss actually left that game even last week but came back. But they think he's going to be okay as well. That is certainly a dynamic duo. Weiss probably doesn't get enough credit because of the presence of Burden, but has a chance. I was very impressed by BC, not only in winning in Tallahassee, but the physicality that we saw from BC in that game, which makes me think, at least for a good while, the Eagles can hold up against this Missouri team on the road. Tex Hyder comments is Doug Flutie ain't walking through that door. Now, Tex is a Bama fan. He probably has some PTSD from Doug Flutie when Doug was at BC and delivered some bad news to Texas Alabama team there on a couple different occasions, I believe. So there you go. Let's keep it moving here for Saturday. Another big one, especially it seems like we say this for Billy Napier every week. But the Florida Gators host the Texas A&M Aggies. Texas A&M, a 3.5 point, another road favorite where the SEC is concerned. DJ Lagway, Graham Mertz, Brent, or both on Saturday?
Both at this point, or at least that's what Billy Napier says. That's going to be interesting to see how he deals with the quarterback issue. One to watch out for on that offensive side of the ball is Eugene Wilson is questionable, but we think that that he will play. But that will be important really to have him in there. The Florida offensive line, I think they're beginning to come around a little bit. Austin Barber, the left tackle, was tested out real well. Jake Slaughter, the center, I think they like him overall. But I can tell you this, my big thing for this game would be, can Florida block Nick Scorton, the transfer coming in from Purdue, and Shamir Turner? That defensive line for A&M is really good. But Trev, the stat that I just frankly cannot get over, but this happens in the SEC, is A&M has lost 10 straight road games going back to October 16th, 2021. So I don't want to over-dramatize it. This is a big game for both of these coaches. Certainly they both need it. But one thing that Billy Napier doesn't need is being in his third year is to lose to a first-year coach in Mike Elko.
And on your home field. Yeah.
Yes.
That won't sell well.
No.
It's already noisy in Gainesville,
yeah,
man.
It is. Absolutely, and it is.
It could be deafening if you lose this game on Saturday, especially in terms of how it plays out. Like, if you do split the quarterback time, it really stinks for Graham Mertz on multiple levels.
It
because
does.
I think this guy is a good player.
Mm-hmm.
But for him now, it's almost a situation in which he can't win.
Right.
Because the fan base has already moved on, really, yeah, from the head coach.
Yeah, they have. Part. I agree with
and
that.
And anything really to do with him other than DJ Lagway. They're excited about DJ Lagway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So do you feed the animals, so to speak, and give them DJ Lagway? You're trying to do the right thing by a guy that was loyal to you and you still feel very confident is a good player. And I think Graham Mertz is a good quarterback.
Yeah, I do too.
I think
I agree.
The thing that has exposed Billy more than anything isn't the quarterback situation. It's the pieces around the quarterback.
Yes.
And that includes the defense too, as an extension of that. Quarterback's fine, whether it's Mertz or Lagway.
Right.
The problem with it being Mertz right now is that you're so deficient in some other areas that he can't really be what you need him to be. Whereas Lagway, because of his dynamic ability, he can cover for some of your deficiencies. And that's the conflict for Billy Napier right now. The fan base, again, seems to have already made up its mind. I'll say this about this game, too. I don't know if A&M has been against the run through two games, what I thought they would be.
Yeah.
And so Montrell Johnson, if that offensive line for Florida is really starting to round into form.
Yeah. Right.
Then this could be a game in which you don't have to put as much maybe on the quarterback, regardless of who is out there. Let's keep it moving for Saturday. The Oklahoma Sooners looking for a bounce back performance after narrowly escaping Houston in Norman last Saturday. Next up, a Tulane team that should be even more of a challenge than was Houston. Tulane coming off a tough, close loss to a ranked K-State team, Brent, down in New Orleans. So another opportunity for Oklahoma, and they really need to get some things straight and corrected this week because we know what's on the horizon a week from Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when the Tennessee Volunteers come in, offensively, they have really struggled in many ways. Jackson Arnold still trying to get in sync with that offense. He has struggled for a couple of games in a row. That has been difficult. And they've done some little things like they muffed two punts and really have put their defense, which frankly has been on the verge of being great, like guys like Danny Stutzman, who had 15 tackles, 12 solo last week. But this offense for Oklahoma it really needs to improve. And when your head coach, Brent Venables, talks about how great your punter is, that probably tells you another thing. But I'm with you. Tulane really should have beat Kansas State last week in some way. So give them a lot of credit where they have gone. But Trev, don't you think they've got to have Oklahoma some significant progress on that offensive side of the ball before the Vols come in?
G, Jeff Lebby in Starkville these days. You got a change at the quarterback position with Jackson Arnold. I guess the inability to run the football, especially well last week, was surprising to me. But, yeah, it's time to step up because the Vols, who we're going to talk about in a little bit, looked really, really good last Saturday night in Charlotte. Let's keep it moving. UAB paying a visit to Arkansas. I think some people may see this line of Arkansas minus 24.5 and be a little bit surprised given where Arkansas has been recently as a program and really where UAB has been. I mean, UAB in these type of situations, we know, have shocked some people. Look at LSU all those years ago down in Baton Rouge. But this appears not to be maybe that kind of UAB team under Trent Dilfer. It's hard because you were so exasperated after that performance by Arkansas against Oklahoma State last week, where it essentially did everything it could to lose the game before eventually losing the game.
Yeah.
And then you come out of it and you think, you know what? You still saw some very impressive pieces for this Arkansas team. And that Bobby Petrino orchestrated offense, there's no question it looked immensely improved on that side.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And Jaquindon Jackson, who you called attention to earlier in the week, is now a real threat along with Taylen Green. So they can move the ball up and down the field. And I was impressed with how their defense really slowed down Ollie Gordon, one of the better rushers in the nation, frankly. So give them a lot of credit on that run defense. UAB beating Alcorn State in the first game 41-3. And then just, frankly, Trav didn't even show up last week against Louisiana Monroe, losing 32-6. So will they be on the rebound? But after a tough loss that Arkansas had, this is probably a game that they need. I know Arkansas is peaking down the road, and that Auburn game that's not too in the distant future. So this may be what the Hogs need for Saturday.
It looks that way. And Taylen Green got to clean up some management issues and some the game management stuff. Very, very fun guy to watch play quarterback. But from a game management perspective, he needs all the snaps he can get. Let's talk about Ole Miss on the road headed to Winston-Salem to take on Wake Forest. You know, this SEC-ACC challenge hadn't been that good.
No, hasn't been entirely
good to the SEC to this point. I get the sense, though, Ole Miss going to be all right. Wake dropped its opener against Virginia a couple weeks ago. Ole Miss rolling through inferior competition. But just based on the eye test alone, the belief that this Ole Miss team can be a good bit different than some previous iterations, hard to argue with that right now.
Yeah, boy, it really is. And Jackson Dart, now, I mean, this is really amazing. Yards per attempt is 14.7. I know that's a stat that you have made us aware of in everything you and I have done. Trev, you don't see that very often, do you?
That's some Tua. That's some Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I mean, really?
And I think those guys, they ultimately finish seasons like 2019 or Matt Jones even in 2020 around 11 for the season, which is crazy. And that'll come down once the competition goes up. But it does speak to the explosiveness and the potential, not only in the passing game, because we saw it with Parrish last week as a runner. Explosive plays, when you look at like right now in the SEC, teams with plays of 20 yards or more, man, Ole Miss is clearly at the top of that list.
And Hank Bachman, Bachmeyer, how about that? A name that we've certainly heard before, the Wake Forest.
Wasn't he at like Boise or something?
That's right.
Yeah.
So, look, you and I both looked at this game earlier in the year thinking this might be could Ole Miss be sleeping through this, but at this point, the way that offense is moving along, and again, give that defense credit too. So, but I think this is an easy win for the Rebels before it's over.
teams that maybe aren't as accustomed to being this highly ranked can go on the road in a situation like this and maybe have a deer in the headlights moment. But no, I don't see this. This is, again, another SEC road team going on the road as a prohibitive favorite. This time it's the Ole Miss Rebels. Let's talk about Texas, 35.5-point favorite over visiting UTSA. UTSA, another one of those teams that maybe you didn't always like to see. UTSA's kind of become, in recent years, like what Southern Miss used to be early in the season if you were a Power 5 opponent. But boy, this Texas team looks so good in Ann Arbor last weekend. Not just Quinn Ewers either. And understandably, he got a lot of the shine and the credit from that. But pick an area. I guess maybe Texas missed an early field goal attempt against Michigan, but I mean, that was about it. That was just a complete dismantling. This feels almost ceremonial, which this week with UTSA in challenge, which I'm sure is the challenge for Steve Sarkisian and his staff.
I tell you what, I'm paying attention to this UTSA team over the last few years. I give that coaching staff a lot of credit. Jeff Traylor's done a really good job. I mean, they've gone 7-5, 12-2, 11-3, 9-4.
Yeah.
And they had a really good quarterback that I think impressed both of us, and Frank Harris, and he has moved on. Now, one of their best players last year, Trey Moore, has gone to Texas. How ironic that is. But, and look, Texas will win the game. We don't get to talk about UTSA very much, so I wanted to throw that in there. And I'm with you. Texas is really hitting on all cylinders at this point. By the way, Longhorns not been number one in the country since October of 08. But trail with – we won't peek too far ahead, but with Georgia coming to town in a few weeks, that stat will be thrown around a lot then.
Yeah, I think it definitely will, for sure. Hey, let's talk about our Diego Pavia-led Vanderbilt Commodores traveling to Atlanta to take on the Panthers of Georgia State. Now, this is that game when we've seen Vanderbilt get off to starts like it's gotten off to, where you maybe worry about a game like this more than you even do the opener against Virginia Tech, because Vanderbilt, while improved – in large part because of Diego Pavia, still not at a point as a program to sleepwalk into Atlanta, Georgia, and think it can waltz right out with a win over a 1-1 Georgia State team that is in its transition year after Sean Elliott left to become an assistant at South Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely. I got amused, Trav, in that Vandy went over Alcorn State. They shoot off fireworks after a certain amount of points, and they ran out of fireworks. Trav, last week.
Probably a first for Vanderbilt, maybe. Yeah,
but this is interesting that they actually have a road game here. It's maybe one of those 2-for-1s or something like that. We'll check on that. But Georgia State's 1-1. And we said earlier in the week, if Vandy goes 3-0, there needs to be a parade in Nashville soon after that. And people will be getting out the record books, Trav, to see the last time Vandy's been 3-0 and 4-0.
I'll say this, though. I said it before the season. My guy Diego is going to be an ESPN Plus All-American, because this is stream only this game Saturday night in Atlanta. And guess who will have that ESPN Plus up?
Absolutely.
Right here.
Yes.
ESPN Plus All-American Diego Pavia. Let's talk about Georgia going on the road as a 24.5-point favorite at the University of Kentucky. This is another one that lost some shine after last Saturday. This was a game just a couple weeks ago we're talking about. One of those circle games is potentially at least intriguing. Doesn't seem to be the case after last week. Every week is different. If anything, it probably makes – maybe Kirby Smart's job more difficult going into a road trip to the Commonwealth, but tough spot for Kentucky here after what we saw on its home field last week and with what Georgia looks to be on a consistent basis.
Yeah, Kentucky allowed 5 sacks, 4 quarterback hurries, and 11 tackles for loss.
But it's okay. Only George is coming in next week.
Yeah, really? Oh, yeah. But, you know, hopefully Brock Vandergriff will be better than 3 of 10 for 30 yards at that point.
And, oh, by the way, Georgia knows Brock Vandergriff better than any team he'll play. Nope.
They do. They do. Now, they will have to cover Barrion Brown, who is, frankly, a star for Kentucky in the returning game and also wide receiver. But I would imagine, Trav, that Kirby has put his picture up on the board and circle him, that he will be covered very closely on each play. So this is a game, frankly, surely Kentucky will be a little more motivated and will play better in this game. And we thought this might be a real difficulty for Georgia, but they will probably sleepwalk with this one. Again, I have the week off as I get ready for Alabama. So, but again, a new star emerges for Georgia, like KJ Bolden at safety, virtually in every game.
Yeah, Eric Wolford, some sleepless nights this week as the Kentucky offensive line coach. Although he coached an Alabama offensive line that had some success against Georgia, but I don't know if he's got the same dudes. I don't know if there's many J.C. Lathams hanging out in Lexington, Kentucky these days. Let's get to Mississippi State. Coming off a road loss at Arizona State last week, the Bulldogs as an 11.5-point home favorite over the 2-0 Rockets of Toledo, Brent.
Yeah, State kind of they rallied late in the desert last week, but still were not able to do what they needed to. Frankly, Toledo really is 122 in percentage of returning production. So this is a game that you need to get well on this. I tell you what they need to improve on is a rush defense. It was really awful during the Arizona State game. So, but this is a game that they've really got to win. And look, you and I have said this, and I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, frankly, but you've got Florida going to Mississippi State in the next few days. So that the progress of both those teams are going to be very interesting, and that could be a really pivotal game for one Billy Napier.
Yeah, year one of Jeff Lebby at Mississippi State, a little different than year three for Billy Napier. But if you're State, you're still hunting wins.
Sure you are.
This season, and this is one you've had on that list for quite some time. Another team in rebound mode. The Auburn Tigers, after a disappointing home loss to the Bears of Cal last Saturday at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Next up, the Lobos of New Mexico. Bronco Mendenhall, your head coach, out in Albuquerque these days. Brent, a lot of noise this week, as you might expect, around that Auburn program with an emphasis on the offensive side of the ball and Peyton Thorne first and foremost. But it sounds at least like Hugh Freeze going to stick with his guy at least for another week.
Yeah, at least, but they may be facing a real decision here, frankly, after Thorne throwing four interceptions. Do they go to Hank Brown or Holden Grenier? You would at least think those guys will play and give them a little bit more of what they need. Now, defensively, Kedrick Falk has played well for Auburn, but again, I tell you, Trav, the thing that really got my attention this week was the stat for Auburn being in the NFL on NFL rosters. Auburn has 21 players. Bama has 61. Georgia has 45 and LSU 39. So those are things that concern fans. But the big thing right now is, where do they go with Peyton Thorne? And is this like DJ Uiagalelei, Trav, in the difficulty that Mike Norvell has got? Do both these coaches with quarterback pedigrees in them be facing a real decision in the next 2 or 3 weeks on what to do with their signal caller?
Well, it's tough because if you go through this opening stretch that you figured was going to be on the light side in terms of competition, and you go through it with pretty much Peyton Thorne, are you going to yank for Hank, so to speak, and then put the young guy out there as you really get into SEC play? You get the Oklahomas coming up on the schedule and teams like that. I think you're in a tough spot if you're obviously. And Hugh's demeanor, like his persona and his energy when things aren't well, it doesn't speak to a guy that can help his team bounce back, right?
Good point.
Maybe he is behind closed doors. Maybe he is that kind of guy. I know he's evangelical and those things in his message, but a lot of these guys, you got to affect them on a daily basis. And his body language and his tone, it comes across as resigned almost, I would say. Well, certainly crestfallen comes to mind.
And Trav, Hugh is not hesitant sometimes to throw his staff under the bus.
That's what I mean. He and Brian Kelly's got some of this in him too.
Yeah, he does.
It doesn't speak to bounce back.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't inspire me to think, oh, yeah, this team, they're going to beat New Mexico. Okay. But what are we really going to learn from that?
Yeah. Right.
Until we see this team against legitimate competition once again. And I was shocked the manner in which that Cal game played out, because it wasn't a fluke.
No, it wasn't.
The equal of Auburn, at least.
Yes.
In just about every area of that football game. Let's wrap things up. Team that there is a lot of sunshine around right now, and understandably so. Tennessee Vols making a big jump up in the polls. 49.5 point favorite over Nick Saban's alma mater, Kent State, coming up on Saturday night, Brent.
Trav, what will be the over and under for Oklahoma mentions from the broadcast crew as Tennessee plays Kent State? I'm sure there's going to be a lot. And again, I mean, Tennessee's really, to their credit, they're hitting on all cylinders. But again, you and I understand, and we said this about them last year, that they're really not going to win championships until that defense is better. But you know what? It's better. And it's been stout so far and been very impressive. Will Brooks kind of broke that NC State game open with the pick six that he got with that balance on offense. At this point, Trav, if you're a Tennessee fan, has the optimism been this high and how long?
Been a while. Got to go back to probably Space Dobbs, Josh Dobbs, when he was quarterback there, maybe 2016 or so. And that season got turned upside down pretty quickly.
Yep, it did.
7-8 years ago. But your point about the defense, I think a lot of folks looked at that performance against NC State and hit it with the old, but. It's NC State. Look, I look ahead on this schedule for Tennessee. Has Oklahoma really shown you offensively that it is anything resembling a sort of stalwart on that side of the ball? No. You know, I think you can look at teams around the SEC right now that you think Tennessee's just going to be fine, going to be just fine defensively and matching up with a lot of these teams. So, I'm a believer in that Tennessee defense to this point. I'm not quite ready to go elite or that sort of level, but good enough right now based on what this offense can also do with Nico and Dylan Sampson and now the depth they seem to have at wide receiver and offensive line, that may be the whole key to the thing for Tennessee. Can they keep their first five on the field pretty much over the course of the season without having to get too much into depth? And that's a question you have for just about any team. Well, Brent, as always, it's been a lot of fun, my man. You got anything else before we get out of here?
Yeah. And my understanding is the people need to pay attention over the next few days. The what was the Pac-2 is kind of making a comeback that some teams are going to be added. So that's going to be fascinating. To kind of see where that goes. And your other, the Arizona at Kansas State game, along with Missouri and Boston College. And Trev, I still think it'll be a fun weekend, but it's rare, is it not, when we've only got two games when both teams are ranked.
It is a little rare, but buckle up. It's coming. Kind of gets you off to it's kind of like a band, you know, that comes out and plays a couple of the hits right off the bat, and then they play the new one off the new album, like that third song, and they're like, I'll live with it, but let's get back to the hits.
That's right.
And I think we're going to get back to the hits.
Yeah.
When we get to week, when we get to week four. But as always, Brent, a lot of fun. Always appreciate you taking the time and always look forward to doing it again next time.
Me too, bud. Take care. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.
Once again, if you haven't subscribed to our channel here, please do that right now. Hit that subscribe button. Hit a like for us while you're at it. We would greatly appreciate that as well. For Brent Beard, Travis Schreier, thanks again. Until next time, so long, everybody.